John chapter 18. Just in case you weren't here for Sunday school, we're going to go over just, I'm just going to talk about this while we're waiting on the men to come back up. But we had talked about Exodus 1, 1 through 14. And you probably can't read my writing, so I'll read it for you, if I can read it. And we talked about the fact that the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and God called them out of Egypt. And then He spent years trying to get Egypt out of them. And He's going to do that in the tribulation time. There's a purification process for Israel. And unfortunately, and fortunately, if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll go through a purification process here. And He wants us to be more like Him. I say unfortunately, and fortunately. Unfortunately, we have to. And fortunately, we get to. Because He wants to give us something at the judgment seat of Christ and say, here's something for what you've done to glorify Me. Amen. But He was calling Israel out, and then in Matthew chapter 2, He had sent Jesus Christ into Egypt because Herod was trying to kill Jesus Christ, Herod being a type of the Antichrist, and He called His son out of Egypt. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17, He calls His children, saved folks, out of worldliness. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. I might have misphrased that a little bit, but I paraphrase that. He calls us out of the world. And we talked about that, and we've talked about the fact, and I don't say this in any pride. I say this in humility and in fear. I don't want to go the way of the world. I don't want to go the way a lot of the churches have went. I'm not saying this church is perfect. You can't be perfect because you've got an imperfect pastor. You got a perfect Bible, so you can keep going the right direction. But I definitely don't want to go the way of the world. And with the church. So that being said, God called Israel out of Egypt. He called His son out of Egypt. He calls us out of Egypt in the sense He calls us out of worldliness. But I want to look for just a little bit to this morning by the grace of God at John chapter 18, talking about Pilate. It's just funny that his name's Pilate because he never could quite get off the runway with this thing, amen? He never, and if he ever would have, he wouldn't have been able to land again because he just didn't know what was going on. He just didn't have it figured out. And I understand it's spelled different, play on words here. But I want to look at Pilate and some things by the grace of God that I hope will help us. I know the Word of God will. The Word won't return void, and it'll do what God sent forth to do. And I'm going to pray again before we do. Let the Word of God deal with our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we sure love You and thank You again for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You for the opportunity to meet here today. We thank You for this book. And Lord, what a humbling thing it is to stand in all of Your book and in the responsibility of trying to preach it. Lord, I ask for Your blessing that You'd breathe on it, and breathe on the message. And Lord, that none of us would leave here the same as we came in, that we'd all leave more like You. I'm asking You, Lord, I'm begging You to show up and change us for Your honor and Your glory. Bless the message and breathe on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 8, or John chapter 18, excuse me. Begin reading verse 28. We know that this is to set the stage here. Judas had sold Jesus out, or taken Him, and taken Him to Pilate. And that's where we're at now. It says, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went on into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered into the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence? He says, but now, he is coming. His kingdom is going to be on this world. But it wasn't set for that time. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me into thee hath a greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Boy, could you imagine? You think about what Pilate said. Pilate said that he had power to crucify him and power to let him go. You think that that's not going to haunt Pilate at the judgment time? Those words? Because he did have the power to crucify him or let him go. And then it just always amazes me, the chief priest answering, we have no king but Caesar. The chief priests were under Roman rule. They didn't have any freedom. They rejected the freedom that was offered them. They rejected the truth and took a lie, accepted a lie. But I want to look at some things by the grace of God today, and I guess I would say, if I had to title this, I would title this, what to do with Jesus. What to do with Jesus. Like I said, Pilate, he never did get the plane off the runway trying to figure out what to do with Jesus. Amen. He never did, and then just kind of funny the way this thing played out and the way Pilate dealt with things. And we can see, learn a lot from Pilate, I believe, and we'll begin by looking in verse 31 of chapter 18. It says, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. The first thing Pilate tried to do is pass the buck. They bring this guy to Pilate. They bring this innocent man to Pilate, the Lord Jesus Christ to Pilate. And they said, we want you to crucify this guy. And he says, the first thing he says is, you take him and you judge him. Well, they brought him to him. He's a Roman governor over them. His job was to appoint him to judge. And they brought him to him, and he said, you judge him. just to pass the buck, what to do with Jesus. And I think that's a lot of times what we'll do if we're not careful. I think we're all guilty of this. And you know, we wake up in the morning and say, what will we do with Jesus today? Well, we're going to give Him to a lost and dying world. Amen. We're going to show Him to a lost and dying world. We're not going to run around. We're going to hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. You know, we sang that song, and I remember singing that 40 years ago. You didn't even know they had, some of these kids, they look at you like, oh, you didn't even know they had words 40 years ago. Amen. You guys are old, you know. But I remember probably 50 years ago being in church singing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and all that stuff. And you know, gee, Dad, did they have cars when you were little? No, and the dinosaurs weren't even invented yet, you know. All that stuff, you know. But I remember singing that song, and boys, we'd go home and sing it. You know, we'd sing it playing in the dirt with our cars and trucks, you know, singing that stuff from vacation Bible school. And then you get older and you get saved and you supposedly get right with God and you quit singing that stuff. Yeah. What do you do with Jesus? And that's what Pilate did. He passed the buck. Well, we figure, you know, somebody else will tell him if I don't. Amen. Somebody else will deal with it. You ever done that? Yeah. Oh, come on, let's be honest. I do it all the time. I have 15, 20 tracks in my pocket. Go in Walmart, come back out with 13, 14 tracks in my pocket sometimes. Amen. Because, you know, the Lord says, give this person. And then they turn the wrong way, and you go, well, see, the Lord wasn't in that. Yeah. Amen. And then the Lord brings it right back. The other side of the store brings them right back by you. And then you're getting ready to talk yourself into doing what the Lord says to do. Amen. And they turn and go the other way. See, the Lord wasn't in that. And then you're up to cash register, and they're right beside you, and you're like, okay, maybe the Lord's in this. And then they rung up faster than you, so the Lord wasn't in it. Amen. What to do with Jesus? See, that's what Pilate did. He passed the buck. Somebody else will tell him. And I agree with that. If somebody's looking for truth, God will send somebody to give them the truth. I believe that. But why not let it be you? I mean, I'm telling you, I'm excited and fearful to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm fearful because I know He's got a list of things where He's going to say, you didn't do any of this stuff I told you to do. But I'm excited to see what God did with what we did do. And again, I can tell you what He did with what you didn't do. You didn't do anything with it. But here Pilate passes the buck. A lot of that going on. You know, our politicians, they're kind of like that, amen? They'll say, well, I inherited this. And 4 years later, I inherited this. And I think George Bush finally got out of trouble because they were blaming it on him for 30 years, you know. I inherited this and I inherited that. And if something goes right on day two, they did it. But everything that's wrong, they inherited from the last guy. Which the last guy inherited from the last guy. They passed the buck. But that's what Pilate did. He passed the buck. Look at verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, Jesus Christ. Let's look at 7, 37. We can't really read it without reading it. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and he will be a king here on this earth. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. So he wanted to get away on the judgment, and he passes the buck. And then he comes out to him, and remember what Pilate said. Pilate said, I have the power to crucify you. I have the power to let you go. And he proclaims his innocence to the people that brought him. Well, that's great, you know. You ever do that? What do you think of Jesus? I believe Jesus was the perfect, the spotless Lamb of God. Okay, that's great. You know, the devil believes that. So what do you do with that? Oh, Jesus, 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 and talk about Jesus and his sinless perfection. But what about the death, the blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the fact that born again puts you into the family of God, born again gives you a seat in heaven forever, but being lost will send you to eternal flames. How about that part of what to do with Jesus? You know, I don't have any trouble. Most churches don't have any trouble saying Jesus Christ was sinless. You know, Muhammad says Jesus Christ is sinless. Amen. That's right. Check it out. You don't believe what I'm saying? Check it out. I use that on them all the time. They go, well, you know, we believe Jesus is a prophet, but he'll bow down to the prophet. Why would a sinless prophet bow down to a sinful prophet? Amen. Let's get our neurons functioning here, all right? You know, drink a little bit of unfermented grape juice and let's think about this, amen? Let's think about what your own book says.
Yeah, that's right.
I think God just plants a little bit of truth in even the perverted stuff so they can't get away from it. He'll probably judge them by the Quran and throw them into a lake of fire.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Because it said right there, Muhammad said Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless and in heaven.
Right.
And Muhammad said he needed a Savior.
Right. Exactly.
And if you think my Savior's bound down to theirs, you're wrong.
Amen.
And they're wrong. And if you think I'm going to pray to Jesus' mama and try to get a prayer answered, you're wrong.
Right.
Amen. What to do with Jesus? Pilate, he passed the buck, and then he proclaims his innocence. I mean, you got people saying, this guy, if he was not a malefactor, we wouldn't have brought him to you. He says, well, he's innocent. Like they're just going to automatically let him go. Amen? Jesus Christ is perfect and sinless. Like people automatically get saved by that. You know what one of the most uncomfortable things to tell somebody is? That they're a sinner.
Yep.
What's really uncomfortable? That sinners burn in hell.
Yep.
But you know what the truth is? Without Christ, you're just a sinner. And without Christ, you'll burn in hell. So you can get out there and sing "This Little Light of Mine" and "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus" and talk about the sinless perfection of God and all that. But until somebody realizes they're lost and on their way to hell, they can't get saved. Amen? That's why I like Bible tracts. You know what Bible tracts are? Parachutes for the weak. Amen? Because even when I don't feel like witnessing, I can give them the Word of God. Amen? God's given us, we about are without excuse. Amen? He's been so good to us and given us so much, we're about without excuse. But Pilate passed the buck. Pilate proclaimed his innocence. And look at 39 and 40. But ye have a custom. This is right after he said he found no fault in him. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He had passed the buck. He had proclaimed his innocence. Now he's trying to provoke them to do right. If you think about what he's doing, in Matthew 27, it says that they had a guy named Barabbas that was a notable robber. He was a notable prisoner. Well, that means people knew what was going on. And there was something about this guy. You get over to, I believe it's Mark 15. It doesn't just say that Barabbas was a robber. It says that he was a murderer. And I understand, God's looking at robbery and murder, and I understand that. But you know, in the Old Testament, a robber could get things right with God, but a murderer couldn't. So they bring an innocent man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, their Messiah, to him and says, crucify him. And Pilate, in his wisdom, even though he was Weasley, in his wisdom, he says, I'm going to bring the worst guy I got here. And he brings out Barabbas, which was a robber and a murderer. And he says, you want me to release this murderer or this man that I find no fault in? You know what they cry out? Release Barabbas. Isn't that shocking? I can't understand it. I don't understand why people choose the devil over God every day. And that's what they did. They rejected God and went with the devil. And they do it every day. Do it every day. And good night. I'll tell you, the people marking themselves up and some of the stuff. I don't know if I told you this or not. I was in Kroger one day, and this guy was walking down the aisle, and he had this real expensive-looking leather jacket on, had all this pagan stuff on, and his pentagram and all this stuff on the back of his coat. And I said, man, what in the world's all over your coat? And he goes, oh, it's just designs. I said, just design? It looked like devil worshiping stuff. Oh, no, it's just design. And he kept walking on down the road, marking himself up. He got the mark of the devil all over it. I don't know if I believe that he thought that was just a design or not, but he was wearing stuff on there. There ain't no way you ought to be wearing.
That's right.
Just walking on down the road, choose the devil over the Lord. So, man, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe they could take Barabbas and say, set him free and crucify Jesus Christ. I can't believe any of us sometimes, amen? How in the world could we choose the devil, following the devil over following the Lord as saved people? I'm not saying there's anybody in here living a lifestyle for the devil. But when you're not doing what God's called you to do, and when you're doing things God's telling you not to do, when we're not doing things God's called us to do, and when we're not doing what God's called us to do, we're saying, give us Barabbas. Amen. Amen. Oh, not the Jesus guy. He makes us nervous. Amen. Not the guy that died for our sins, not the guy that shed his blood, not the guy that God himself came in the flesh and paid our sin debt, not the guy that gave us a new birth and made us a new creature and gave us a new eternity. Not that guy. You see, Pilate was no fool. He was a wise man or he wouldn't have been in his position. But when it came to spiritual things, he was a fool. Worldly things. I mean, he set it up great. He was going to provoke them to do right. He said, surely, if I give them a choice between this wicked robber and murderer and the innocent, spotless Lamb of God, their king, they're going to choose their king. And they chose Barabbas. Isn't that something? Human nature without God is a mess. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. Now see, Pilate couldn't quite get off the runway. Pilate had an idea. Man, this guy's telling me some things. And being a judge and being a judge of men over the years, he's saying this, you know, the judges, most of the judges have some wisdom. God's given them some wisdom. I understand, you know, that men don't always apply that wisdom. And I understand we have Supreme Court judges that kind of go with the wind. And I understand that. And I understand some of them are wise, wise people. I think the only one I could say was probably saved for sure would be Clarence Thomas. But I'm telling you, and I understand that a lot of them, they've got messed up religion and they go with their religion. They blow back and forth. I understand that. But God gives these men some wisdom to judge. Pilate was not an idiot. He was not an idiot. You know what he does? He thinks, I'll pacify them by beating this innocent man. And surely they'll feel the guilt that I feel about it and they'll let him go. But they didn't do it. He says, Behold the man. The man Christ Jesus. Behold the man. So he tries to pacify them by beating an innocent man. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, you imagine having to stand before God at judgment after doing that to his son when he had the power to release him and the power to crucify him. So he's staging into this. He's staging into this. First he says, you judge him, I'm going to pass the buck. Then he says, this guy's innocent, surely you'll let him go. Then he says, I'm going to provoke you to do right. Surely you'll pick him over Barabbas. And then he tries to pacify them by beating an innocent man. Behold the man. And in verse number 6, it says, when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. He tries to pass the buck again. You ever wonder what would have happened if Pilate would have said, you know what? This guy's innocent, and I'm not going to do anything else to him. I'm letting him go. But he didn't do it. Could you imagine that? I mean, if you read the accounts in the Gospels of this, Pilate's wife's having dreams about this situation. Pilate's nervous about it. And when Jesus Christ wouldn't answer him, it was bothering him. It was just eating him up. Because Pilate had an idea that what he was saying was true. Pilate knew what he was saying was true. Matter of fact, you remember the superscriptions over the cross.
Right.
King of the Jews. Pilate put it on there. Now, Pilate didn't understand exactly who he was as Savior, but he knew he wasn't lying about what he was telling him about being a king. Jesus Christ never denied it. And Pilate mentioned it, and he said, you said it. Amen. But he tries to pass the buck again. Take ye him and crucify him, for I find in him no fault in him. See, and there's another thing. Take ye him and crucify him. This man's innocent. You kill him. You know what Pilate should have said or could have said? There's nothing wrong with this guy. You put your hands on this guy, I'm taking you out. This guy's innocent. Keep your hands off this innocent man. But instead he just keeps trying to kick it down the road, pass the buck. You take him and crucify him. He didn't care if he lived or died. He just didn't want it on his hands. Isn't that something? Jump down to 12 through 15 in chapter 19. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that was called the pavement, in the Hebrew, Golgotha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. So he comes along and he tries to pass the buck. He then tries to proclaim his innocence, tries to provoke him to do right. That's not working. He tries to pacify him by beating an innocent man. He tries to pass the buck again by telling him, You take him and crucify him. And then he after he said, Behold the man, after he dressed him up, mocked him and ridiculed him, beat him, he says, Behold the man. And now his last resort here, he says, Behold your king. Because he believed he was their king. Behold the man. And they said, Crucify him. Behold your king. And they said, Crucify him. Pilate has done everything he could do to get them to let him go, except let him go himself. Isn't that something? He just couldn't figure out what to do with Jesus. What a crazy thing. Churches are full of people all over the world. They can't figure out what to do with Jesus. What to do with Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do with Jesus. We'll add him to our wine and add him to our crackers. Or add him to our baptismal. Or add him to our works. Or we'll accept him and add our works to him. All this stuff, what to do with Jesus. Oh, they're trying to figure it out, but they're not doing it biblically. I mean, what would have helped Pilate out a lot if he had a New Testament? Amen. If he'd had the book of Romans and the book of John, he'd got it all figured out. I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. You got people all over the world that got the whole entire Bible and they can't figure out what to do with Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm such a good person, I think I'll just add a little Jesus to me. That's not what to do with him. That's not what to do with him. What to do with him is realizing he's all righteous and we're all wrong. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. And just trust him and call on him for Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm trusting you and you alone. But there are people all over the world today that meet in what they call church, and they go through a ritual, and they still haven't figured out what to do with Jesus. So Pilate tries to pass the buck. Pilate he proclaims his innocence. He tries to provoke them to do right. They do wrong again. He tries to pacify them by beating an innocent man. He says, Behold the man. And then he tries to pass the buck again and present him as king. And in verse number 16, boy, if it doesn't explain our world, I don't know what does. In verse number 16, Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. He passed the buck, proclaimed his innocence, provoked him to do right, tried to pacify him by beating an innocent man, tried to pass the buck again, tried to present him as king. Now he played politician. He played politician. He made a decision. Remember what they said. If you don't do this, you're not a friend of Caesar's. He made a decision to protect his position at the cost of truth. When I was in practice, I remember I always had a King James Bible out in the front, and I always tried to witness to everybody come in there and got to lead some people to the Lord right there in the office. It was a blessing. But I always remember this. I remember a couple people getting upset and not coming back, looking at me funny, and I thought, you know what? God will replace them with 10 saved people. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. But if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing Pilate did and try to protect our position. That's what a lot of preachers do. I don't want to do that. You see, I'm not above that because I have flesh. So pray for me. I pray for you. You're not above it because you have flesh. Amen? I think a lot of people don't realize they're not above it, and that's what gets us in trouble. Pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. We get in our pride. I tell you, in humility and in fear, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do what's expedient for the flesh at the cost of truth. You know what the Jews are going to have to do in the tribulation? They're going to have to turn away what's expedient for the flesh at the cost of truth. They're going to say, I'm not taking the mark. I'm not worshiping the beast. I'm trusting God. You say, well, that's terrible that they'd not trust God. But yet, We're all guilty of it at one time or another, of not trusting God. He played politician. He said, you know, boy, I want Trump in there. I hope you're not saying this, but I want Biden in there. Biden doesn't even want to be in there. He don't even know he's in there. I want Trump in there. I want this guy in there. I want that guy in there. I want the other guy in there. I want DeSantis. First of all, find out where they go to church and what they believe and decide what you really want. Because the devil will come as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And the angel of light don't deliver light. He delivers darkness. And we done read the end of the book. Ain't nobody going to stop that. Nobody. Matter of fact, bring it on, Lord. Come get us out of here and let's go. But I want this guy and I want that guy. And they'll stand up there. I don't care if they're red or blue. They'll get up there and they'll talk about God. They will. They'll mention God. If they're blue, they'll do it once or twice real quiet. If they're red, they do it all the time because they lie more when it comes to God. You know, God this and God that. And we got to get this country back to God. And you get in there and they'll make decisions as politicians. So, well, I like this guy because he's not a politician. He spent his whole life being a politician, but he wasn't in office. Amen. That's how he took all these losses and turned them into fortunes. He was a politician. He just didn't have a title. The reason the country's in the toilet and the dumpster like it is because it used to be farmers that had dirt under their fingernails running this place. And now it's people that have never had dirt under their fingernails. Amen. That if they had a callus, they'd run to the doctor and try to get a prescription for it. Amen. And they play politician. I'm not saying some of them aren't saved. Boy, some of them, I'll tell you, some of them that said they were saved, good night if you question somebody's salvation. I mean, I hate to kick your dog, but Ted Cruz needs to be questioned. Amen. Good night. You go on down the list of people, it needs to be questioned. I mean, some of the people, the things these people say and do, I got to tell you, at least they're not in the will of God. Maybe not even saved. I don't know. But he played politician to protect the position. He said, man, that's terrible. It is terrible. But have you ever thought, I don't know what they'll think of me if I do this? I don't know what they'll think of me if I don't do this. I don't know what they'll think of me if I don't go along with this. Let me tell you what they'll think of you if you go along with the wrong thing. They'll think that you're a sellout to the devil, even the lost crowd. You know, the lost crowd used to respect church and used to respect the Word of God and they used to respect the position of pastor and deacon and they used to respect some things. And it ain't nothing about the man, it's about the position. I'm not telling you that. It ain't nothing about the man. God could, He could smoke me right now and replace me with a donkey to do a better job than me. I ain't no doubt about it in my mind. He done it in the Old Testament, He could do it again. I'm not worried about that. But I'm telling you, they have no respect because we haven't earned it. The world don't look at saved people anymore and say, there's something different about them, and I'd like to be like that. They look at most saved people and say, you're just like us. See you at the bar tonight. Yep. 7:00. Amen. Put on your nice clothes because it's ladies' night. Maybe you'll pick one up. Amen. Maybe you can take strong drink and entice some innocent victim into something that... Hey, you say, oh, innocent victim, they wouldn't be there. The woman's the weaker vessel. You tell me the man don't have a responsibility amen. To not be that way?
That's right, amen.
I understand women having a responsibility too. When you're wearing two pieces of dental floss and a Band-Aid,
right.
People are going to look.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Even women will look.
That's right.
And today we're not sure who's looking anymore.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. Yeah, we'll go down to the club. Wait a minute, weren't you just in church on Sunday? Oh yeah, man, we had the rock band down there, and we had this, and we had that. And boy, I'll tell you what, we had it all going on. Meet us down at the club tonight, I'll tell you about it. You wouldn't have found a Baptist within 10 foot of a beer can 500 or 50 years ago. You got them drinking it with them now, trying to get them saved. That's why I say I'm a Bible believer more than I'm a Baptist. And I ain't got nothing against Baptists. I love being a Baptist. I like being an old school Baptist. The Baptists that even all the secular scholars say were around before 350 A.D. The belief system through the Anabaptists and the Waldensians and on down the road. I like that. I like having a trail back to truth. All the way truth, all the way through. I like that. A lot. Or I wouldn't be in here. I wouldn't be preaching in a Baptist church. But that being said, I'll go preach in the Methodist church, Catholic church. I don't care where it is. They can invite me in, I'm going to go preach. They won't invite me back, but I'll go in and preach once. Amen. Get through with the Pope's dress and his fish hat, they'll never have me back. Amen. But the thing is, God has called us to do something, and a lot of times we just act like politicians. That'd make me uncomfortable. It might cost me something. I wonder what it's going to cost us when we get to the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, I'm not talking about you. You can relax. I want to preach at me for a while. I've been saved for several years. And I hate to admit it, but there have been several times I didn't do what the Lord said to do. There have been several times I said, I ain't taking tracks in today, Lord. There have been some times the Lord sent me back out to the car, too. And said, you're going to get tracks. I'll break your leg. Amen. He talks to me that way. He may not talk to you that way. But that's the fear I have anyway, so I go get the tracks. Amen. But could you imagine the judgment seat of Christ? He's going, look, you were afraid of this. And you didn't witness this person right here. And I sent this other guy or this other lady down there, and they witnessed to him, and they got saved. And they pastored such and such church for so many years, and all these people got saved under their ministry. And all these families are going to heaven because this lady over here did what you man wouldn't do that day. And you're sitting there trembling, going, Lord, I'm sorry. And he goes, yeah, but it's too late for that. You can't get that back. You're not going to lose anything of this world by doing right that God won't bless you for. Amen? Boy, we got to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one of these days and find out when it all shakes out, we're going to find out we've all lost a lot. But truly, it's Christ that lost. It's Christ that lost. And I understand God's plan with the crucifixion. I understand that Jesus Christ, the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. But what if Pilate would have said, I'm going to lay my crown down at your feet. You're the king. I'm just a sinner. And I'm letting you go. And as soon as you walk out of here, I'm putting my crown back on, and I'm going to tell these people, if you touch that man, if you touch my king, and then maybe somebody else would crucify him. He was going to be crucified. But Pilate made a decision that he wasn't going to do the right thing. By passing the buck, by proclaiming his innocence, by provoking them to do right, and they didn't. Pacifying them by trying to pacify them by beating him and saying, behold the man, pass the buck again, presenting him as king, and then playing the politician. You know, people say, well, I don't know about that Old Testament. We shouldn't read the Old Testament. We should just read the New Testament. We should read, you know, just Paul's books and all this stuff. I think if you want to find out who you are, you ought to read the Old Testament. Yeah. You want to find out who God is, read the whole book. Read the whole book. But if you really want to know you, read that Old Testament. And every time them Jews are going the wrong way, that's you and me. I'm not saying we replace the Jews. I'm just saying that's human nature without God. And when they turned away from God, they did the same thing that you and I do when we turn away from them. And a lot of times they played politician. What to do with Jesus? Pilate couldn't figure it out. All his wisdom, all his judgment that he had been through already, and all the men that had stood before him, he finally found one that he could say was perfectly innocent, and he refused to let him go because of politics. He refused to say, no, I'm going to present him back to you as your king, and I'm turning him loose. What are you going to do with Jesus? Between Sunday and Wednesday, what are you going to do with Jesus? I know Wednesday we're going to meet, we're going to talk about him, we're going to brag on him, we're going to worship him, we're going to sing about him. Hopefully we'll do something to glorify him. But what are you going to do with Jesus today, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday? When God opens up the door and God opens them up, what are you going to do with Jesus?